Spring has sprung and you need to celebrate with a new MyPillow. With its patented interlocking fill, you can easily adjust your MyPillow to your individual needs. And now Mike's added brand new temperature regulating technology that keeps you more comfortable throughout the night. Plus, MyPillow 2.0 is 50% off with promo code REGULARJOE. There's never been a better time to get the MyPillow 2.0 than right now when it's 50% off. You can also get the extraordinary Giza Dream Sheets starting at just $29.99. Made from the world's best cotton from a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, the Giza Dream Sheets feature a sateen weave, giving them a luxurious finish. We own several sets, and they are fantastic. And you can get them for a limited time at an extremely low price with promo code REGULARJOE. Visit MyPillow.com/REGULARJOE to shop the best deals on MyPillow's complete line of products and get the lowest prices when you use promo code REGULARJOE. Hello there and welcome. Joe Gigante, Regular Joe here with you. So what do you say? Now, do you think we should wait and see if there's any call? I mean, I don't know. Speaker Johnson earlier this week was, without using names, calling out Marjorie Taylor Greene. We shared articles with different important individuals within the Republican Party calling for unity so we can win in 193 days, and I'm all in. But when you have Governor Christie, and let's just for the sake of it, let's play one more time. Here's Governor Christie. It was a Tuesday of this week. He was at the Institute of Politics at the University of Chicago Forum talking about, who's the nominee. Now, remember, we're in the midst of the depth and breadth of unity, ladies and gentlemen. We are rallying behind the de facto nominee for president because it's, as I quote them, it's all for the marbles. Here we go.
I would have preferred any of those people over Trump. Ramaswamy and Trump, I would have hoped for a death match where they both die.
A literal death
yes.
match.
Where they both die.
So look, I mean, is he trying to be funny? I don't know, because he said literal death match. I think it's disgusting. I mean, again, there's a lot of people I don't like in politics. I don't think you can ever go back in the thousands of hours of shows I've done and produce a soundbite where I said, oh, I hope they die. Now, I've had people say that about me. I've heard plenty of people say it about Donald Trump and others. And I got to break the news to good old Chris Christie. Krispy Kreme Christie, every other Republican nominee could have died, and you still wouldn't get the nomination. It wasn't going to be you. It's not going to be you. And it's because nobody likes you. I mean, you're a terrible candidate. You just are. Just go put on a baseball uniform and keep embarrassing yourself. Whatever. You didn't see that picture? Oh, it's horrible. Anyone look in the mirror before? That's not the worst of it. I'm just saying, look in the mirror before you go out. People talk about Walmart, too much spandex in Walmart. It's just terrible. All right, yesterday, the immunity hearing was going on in the Supreme Court of the United States over presidential immunity. Now, I played at the last hour. We had Van Jones explaining that, in fact, you can produce two different slate of electors. He didn't reference, there's a longer piece. We only played some of the sound. But, in fact, this was done in the 1876 presidential election between Rutherford B. Hayes and Samuel Tilden. If you're saying, who's Samuel Tilden exactly? Samuel Tilden, by many people's accounts, was the winner of that presidential election. Because when you get into it, there is a dispute. They needed 185 electors to be called the winner. Tilden won 184 electors. Hayes had 165 with 20 votes up for grabs from Florida, Louisiana, South Carolina, in Oregon, where, as they say in the one account, were unresolved. No, they had two slates of electors from these states. To address the resulting situation, Congress established an electoral commission. It was 8 Republicans and 7 Democrats. Hayes was a Republican. Tilden was a Democrat. On a party line vote. Now, understand, Tilden needed one electoral vote to win out of the 20. Hayes needed all 20. 8-7 was the vote, the 8 Republicans voting to award those 20 electoral votes, all of them, to Rutherford B. Hayes, and he was declared the winner. This led to what is known as the Wormley Agreement, or the Compromise of 1877, where in basically to quell, there was, the Democrats were threatening an armed uprising. Does it sound familiar at all? An armed uprising, and then they're going to march on Washington, D.C., a la the Civil War movie. But instead, they agreed to pull federal troops out of the South post the Civil War, and that was the compromise, the short version of the compromise, that avoided that, and there was a peaceful transition of power in 1877. So it has been done. As a matter of fact, Van Jones knows it so well, he laid it out in advance to the 2020 election on CNN, how that works and how it's ultimately would be resolved and can be resolved. See, I want to play that. We played it at the end of the hour. Play the second Van Jones cut, this second cut. He says that if there's too much controversy, basically it results in a violation of federal law. And then who resolves it? Play this.
Now, that's a violation of federal law. So Congress would no longer have to honor that state's electors at all. Now, the House and the Senate can then decide which result is valid or throw out the votes from that state altogether.
Now, wait a minute. Just wait a minute. Didn't Mike Pence and all the weak-kneed Republicans tell us all they can do, the only thing they can do is to simply certify the election? They have no chance, no way of doing anything. But Van Jones, resident communist CNN, just said to us that, in fact, Congress has the power to throw out a state's electors, to say, well, these are in dispute, and we're not going to choose one or the other. We're just going to toss them. Now, of course, they haven't circulated this audio for a reason. They've been trying to kill this audio and video, which is why I'm sharing it with you right now. Because in Arizona, they're claiming the fact that there's an alternate set of electors that were supposed to be used if there's an overturning of a court case is the reason why they're now indicting Donald Trump. Did you follow that? Because, again, like the hush money trial, the question is Chris Mays, that's the attorney general, where's the crime? Where's the crime in this? Now, quickly, yesterday's sound bites, cut 20. Here she is starting off her video announcement about the indictment.
Let me start by thanking everyone for your patience as we conducted a thorough and professional investigation over the past 13 months into the fake elector scheme in our state. I understand for some of you today didn't come fast enough, and I know I'll be criticized by others for conducting this investigation at all. But as I have stated before and will say here again today, I will not allow American democracy to be undermined.
Democracy.
It's too important. The investigators and attorneys assigned to this case took the necessary time to thoroughly piece together the details of the events that began nearly 4 years ago.
Yeah, it took them 4 years to piece it together. They moved like lightning. Could she sound more monotone, though? All right, so she said, look, they're sore losers, and they were trying to put pressure on people. Cut 21. Here it is.
After the general election on November 3rd, 2020, the defendants and other unindicted co-conspirators raised false claims of widespread voter fraud in Arizona to pressure elections officials to change the outcome of a transparent, free, and fair democratic election. Those efforts ultimately failed when officials stood firm, followed their statutory duties, and officially certified Arizona's election on November 30th, 2020.
Okay, so they've been studying this for 4 years, right? So number one, pressure campaigns are not illegal. It's completely, you absolutely can be like, hey, look at that again. I want you to look at that again. You can call a DA, you can call an elected official and be like, I think you need to look at this. That is completely legal. It is just legal, plain and simple. But what's really important there is she said, look, they had this campaign and it failed when we certified our results. So there's an indictment on a conspiracy to overturn an election that failed. Even though there nothing that she said is actually legal yet, and she just stated the fact is we certified our electors, the ones we said were the electors. Now, cut 22, she gets into the whole sore loser thing. And again, this is what they do in all these. They want to make it sound ugly and dirty, but there's no actual law that they can cite.
Arizona's election was free and fair. The people of Arizona elected President Biden.
Your opinion.
Unwilling to accept this fact, the defendants charged by the state grand jury allegedly schemed to prevent the lawful transfer of the presidency. Whatever their reasoning was, the plot to violate the law must be answered for, and I was elected to uphold the law of this state. The scheme, had it succeeded, would have deprived Arizona's voters of their right to have their votes counted for their chosen president.
But Van Jones just told us that the Congress can throw out the electors. So are you indicting Congress because they could have done this? They didn't do it, but they could have. Just like these guys didn't do any of the things you're saying, but they could have. And she keeps saying that they violated the law, but notice she doesn't actually say what law. There's a reason why, because if she could say, you know, it's law 23, subsection 4, 5, 9, or 7. Trust me, it'd be there. It's not there for a reason, ladies and gentlemen. They claim, now here's the best part of this. Cut 23, here's kind of the main piece of this, which is not a statement of objective truth, but just her opinion.
The defendant Republican presidential electors allegedly plotting with additional defendants then voted for Mr. Trump and Vice President Pence on December 14th, 2020, falsely claiming to be the duly elected and qualified electors for President and Vice President of the United States from the state of Arizona. These defendants deceived the citizens of Arizona by falsely claiming that those votes were contingent only on a legal challenge that would change the outcome of the election.
Actually, the whole point of the legal challenge was because it could change the outcome of the election. So again, she's not giving you any actual legal facts. She's just giving you her basics. Now, we're going to play the whole thing, but play the first part of Cut 24, where Race Bannon comes in to save the day.
That scheme failed when Vice President Pence upheld the rule of law and accepted all certified Biden-Harris votes on January 6, 2021.
We're right there. So wait, why are we having, what did it take 4 years to figure out? Can you explain that part to me? You just said it all failed. Nothing actually happened. People thought about it. They wanted to do it. Can you, what law was that again? I'm sorry, can you cite that law? I don't want to write it down. No, go ahead. I have my pen. Come on, Chris. You don't have a, okay. So you can't actually point to a law, Chris Mace, because this isn't about the rule of law at all, is it? And Glenn wrote in Heat, by the way, pointing out that they had the similar thing in Wisconsin, where there's no punitive monetary actions or admission of wrongdoing in the settlement. But in fact, what they made all of the Wisconsin so-called phony electors is write a statement saying that they believe Joe Biden won and they agreed to participate in investigations or any prosecutions by the United States Department of Justice on this. Now, I personally think, I've told you what I think about the not all, but some of those electors that took the plea deals. They went weak. I'm not saying that I'm not in the position. You never know what happens till it's you. But they rolled over and they'll pay for it is what. And when I mean pay for it, not from me, not from you. Because now they are they're like the cellmate in prison. I can't use that term, but I'm just saying they aren't going to be treated nice by the DOJ. That is my point. And then while this is all transpiring, we have the immunity hearing. I know we got to hit the break. Work with me. There's some great back and forths. We're going to go, I'll do the break first because I know it's too long a piece. Going to try to get a couple of them in before the end of the show, including Brett Kavanaugh. Every once in a while, the guy has a shining moment, asked a pretty straightforward, honest question of the Biden regime's lawyer. He was struggling, try to come up with an answer. I'll share that with you on this Freedom Friday when we get back. As I said, man, it keeps crumbling around them because truth is mighty and it will prevail.
Regular Joe Radio Show.